Hi, my name is Brooke, and I spent 775 days creating a podcast called Actual Innocence to raise awareness of wrongful convictions. And this is the last one. To be honest, I'm sad. This podcast has helped me to grow in ways that I would have never imagined. If someone would have asked me where I saw myself in 5 years, 5 years ago, here would not have been my answer. The other day, I emailed a question to someone about the future of Actual Innocence, and they told me that making money is the ultimate goal for everyone. But the thing is, it's not. My goal since becoming a podcaster has been to help people, but also not to be homeless. Most months, after expenses and taxes, Actual Innocence breaks even at best. And if by chance there is any excess, it's donated to an Innocence Network agency. For me, success isn't equivalent to wealth. You can't fill others from an empty cup, though. And as we've learned from all the stories that have been told, life isn't always fair. But what kind of people would we be if we advocated for others but not for ourselves? Sometimes you get betrayed or lied to. Sometimes in the end, it's just a lack of communication that leaves you with only difficult choices. Don't worry, we're not quitting. We're just readjusting. We wouldn't give up that easily. I would strongly suggest subscribing to the podcast Convicted, if you're not already. Any future announcements about Buried Alive or Actual Innocence will come from that feed, Convicted. Buried Alive has a lot more episodes. It just doesn't have a home right now. In the meantime, you can also catch me on Cold Case Files, the podcast, by A&E. Okay, time for our last sponsor. I used to brag to my friends that because my office is just through the closet doors, the dress code is pretty lax and based on comfort. But my friends aren't jealous anymore because we've all discovered Beta Brand's dress pant yoga pants. Now, my friends are enjoying comfortable clothes in their offices while still looking professional. Everyone agrees the Beta Brand dress pant yoga pants are the most comfortable pants you'll ever wear to work. My current favorite pair of dress pant yoga pants is the classic with two pockets. They're comfortable, they're functional, and they look professional. What more could you ask for in a pair of pants? My productivity increases, and I just feel better when I'm comfortable. That's why I started wearing Beta Brand's dress pant yoga pants. Visit betabrand.com and enter our code ACTUAL to get 20% off your pair. Millions of women agree that these are the most comfortable pants you'll ever wear to work. That's Beta Brand, BETABRAND.com, and use our code ACTUAL to get 20% off your dress pant yoga pants. In honor of the last episode, today we're sharing a few moments from throughout the series. In the beginning, it was me, a closet, a borrowed microphone, and an outdated computer.
Sometimes the best way is not the easiest way. And it takes a lot of time and a lot of patience. But if you have the truth on your side and you're willing to stick by that truth no matter what, then, you know, maybe you can. It might be a hard road, it might be a long road, but hopefully in the end that truth will prevail.
But when you're innocent, you got armor around your morale, and it's nothing that can beat it down. And you got this steel plate that's up under that armor and this Teflon that even if something happens and you get through that, you got something that's going to protect you even more so. You keep your strength and you keep your hopes up, and nothing can ever take it from you.
He was 5'1", 95 pounds, which is undersized for a 14-year-old boy. They had to do something in order to make apparatuses fit that the sheriff at that time bought him a Bible on the way to the death house, and that was one of the books that he was placed on to actually try to elevate his height in the electric chair. Now, I'm not actually verifying that. I'm just saying what has been said. But I do know that the electric chair was designed for adults, not a 5'1", 95-pound boy. It was not designed for that.
You know, you always look for the hero to come and clear things up. So I'm looking around knowing somebody's going to come and straighten this up. And then when I see my mama, she's sitting over there crying, that's when I realized that these folks had found me guilty of something I ain't did.
It's a lot of issues I don't think a whole lot of people know about as far as us, until my us is honorees. they don't know what being in that traumatic situation, being in that situation, have done to us.
It, there's no question the wrongful conviction has affected the lives of my children. They're grown adults now. My son is 30. My youngest is 23. And there's still a lot of very deep pain that comes out from time to time. But we are strong as a unit. We're strong as a unit. There is nothing that could break us as a family, ever.
Hello, hello. How y'all doing? This is DeMarco Carpenter.
And this is Malcolm Scott.
We're all the way from Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Tulsa, Oklahoma.
We're in San Diego, California.
San Diego!
And it's live. Man, man, life is good. You know, we done did 22 years for a crime we didn't commit. We've been out 10 months.
Anytime there's a bill or something like that to help innocent people, support it. Don't support the candidate or the bills that are supposed to be tough on crime, because there's no such thing as tough on crime. You're only being tough on people, and we're people. And so you're being tough on yourself, you know, and on other people that you should care about.
So I was going through hell, and I wasn't used to that. You know, I've been in solitary confinement prison for a lot of years, but you know, it's been years since I've been back in that type of position. So I was driving me nuts. And I prayed for faith. I was like, you know what, God, I know you're going to get me out of here. You know, I know it, you know, it's all in your timing. But, you know, all I want you, you know, all I'm asking, just give me faith, man. I'm really low on faith right now. I need faith to carry on. You know, I have belief in you. Just, you know, help me out with the faith. And oddly enough, 15 minutes after that prayer, you know, the officer comes to me and says, hey, Viegas, you got mail. So he gave me the letter. And I look at the envelope, and it says Faith. I got a letter from a girl named Faith, who ended up being my wife.
My name is Amanda Faith, and most people go by Faith. I wrote him a letter of support, and in the best, I guess, the best timing that he needed, he got a letter from Faith.
I laughed as I was putting those clips together. I'm not super sound editor by any means, but I've come a long way. So a month or so after attending my first Innocence Conference, I had an interview that changed everything.
Man, I need to. I also want to meet Denzel Washington, Ice Cube, too. That's my favorite rapper, Ice Cube. Denzel,
yeah.
My favorite actor. I'm trying to go hang out with them, too, meet them one day, and maybe be on Dr. Phil's show.
That would be cool.
That would be cool.
So are you ready for my last two questions?
No. As you know, I talk a lot, right? People tell me I talk a lot.
Oh, yeah, by all means. Go ahead.
Yes, listen. You know, since I've been out, I don't know if I showed you my stomach.
Your stomach?
Yes, but I got shot with an AK. I got shot with an AK when I was 16 years old, right?
No, I did not know that.
I wish I still had the original audio to that, because after clarifying that I'd heard what I thought I heard, and right before I laughed, I had said, wow, I have totally lost control of this podcast, which I took out. Who knew?
Wow, I think it's like getting slapped in the face twice. The first time you sit there and you lie to me, and then this time you're like, oh, I'm sorry, I made a mistake. There was no trauma. I'm sorry you had to do all this time because of a testimony that I gave, you know, but hey, good luck with your life. You know, it's hard to comprehend that somebody of her stature can just get away with something and not, you know, it goes so unrealized, because we don't know how many other people she's done this to. How many other people's lives have you ruined? There could be other people sitting in prison right now, and they don't know that she might have actually made that same mistake in their case. It's so hard to believe that stuff like this happens and that people can just go on with their lives with it.
You know, I had a history of committing crimes, and basically they just basically said, this is your turn. You done enough stuff and got away, but this is your turn. And they offered me, said, look, you just get 15 years, which they offered me plea bargain of 15 years. And that way, this is a red ball case. This person is a prominent member of the community. You take this one for the team. you do 3 or 4 years, come on out, you know. So
I think that just because someone has committed a crime or made a choice that they're not.
Well, I've done more than my share. I mean, right. I'm being honest with you about that.
But that doesn't mean that you deserve to be punished for something that you didn't.
But in the
do.
Real world of the justice system, that's how the game is played. If you're in the system, they didn't just pick me out of the sky, so to speak. I mean, I was on their radar for various things. So when you do things, you know that eventually you're going to jail. And a lot of times it's not for what you did, but that's part of the game. But
educate yourself as to what obstacles will be in the way of once the guys are released. A lot of the main obstacles are housing, solid employment, and I'm not talking about McDonald's. You know, I'm talking about skilled employment.
I always ask that question. What can we do to help? That was the first time I had heard give an exoneree a job.
I'm excited about a lot of things. And hey, sky's the limit. Now I'm helping people. I'm trying to help people.
DeMarco is an amazing person, and I have no doubt he will bring a new depth and new perspective to the show. I'm Brooke.
And I'm DeMarco.
And you're listening to Actual Innocence.
My outlook on life is like this. Like, I'm not just happy that I'm home. I'm not going to be happy. As long as there's work to be done, I'm going to have to do the work. And so I don't think I'll ever rest. I don't think I'll ever rest.
Be who you are and keep fighting. Because it's going to be a battle. There's going to be, crossroads. There's going to be hills. There's going to be valleys. But you have to be persistent and be determined to get the victory and overcome all the stuff coming against you. Because if you don't stand, you'll fall for anything, you know? So I would just encourage them to keep believing that there's always hope. And, you know, there's always a good side to something. That's what I would say to them. Don't ever give up.
Look, I've been home 40 years. Let me tell you something. I went and got counseling. Not because I felt that I was going to act crazy or anything, but because I needed help to deal with all that I was dealing with. It's not something that you can deal with by yourself. And people who are counseling individuals who have been wrongfully in prison have to understand they have to be a little patient and mindful that we're going to have mood swings. We're going to go through things and keep things in. You know, we're not going to want to share a lot of things right off the bat because we're not used to talking to people.
You know, I'm not quite sure what happened with that police department. I cooperated fully. I didn't know I wasn't supposed to, honestly. The one regret I have, not that you asked that, but is speaking to the police. And if I were to do it over again today, I would have never said a word to them. I thought I was supposed to help them and talk to them. I went down and took a polygraph test. I passed my polygraph test.
I just said, that's just the world we live. This is just the world we live in. I mean, you know, I don't trust many anyway. That's why I tried to get away as far away from Tulsa as I could. So, I mean, no, I don't trust. Police stop me. Sometimes they don't harass me. They even ask, you know. So how do you feel about police? It's like, well, some of y'all do y'all job and some of y'all don't.
The judge has already said that we are completely, you know, exonerated. We were actually innocent. And we had absolutely nothing to do with this crime. And the DA tried to appeal it. Yeah, they took it to the highest court. And all five judges agreed we were completely innocent. So we have six judges, not just the one that released us, but the high court, all five of the highest court judges agreed that we were innocent as well. Nobody dissented. All five of them agreed.
People rushing around, very hurried, very upset because they're not keeping track of their schedule or, you know, the world just seems to run on this buzz and everybody's buzzing around doing things. And I get happy just walking outside barefoot with my cup of coffee and watching the dogs play.
I went to my first high school reunion
And it was kind of an emotional experience for me because I didn't graduate with my classmates. You know, I was arrested and ultimately wrongfully convicted of murdering while I was in high school, and the crime was murdering and raping a classmate. You know, so the last time I was collectively, you know, I was a publicly hated figure. I hadn't been a murderer in Peekskill for like 20 years. But people reached out to me through social media to attend the reunion. And so, you know, I went back and forth a little bit as to whether I should go. But ultimately, I was persuaded to go. People encouraged me to go. And I was nervous thinking about it. I was nervous driving my car from my house to where the reunion was, you know, being held at. I was about 50 minutes away. And even once I parked the car, I'm walking in the parking lot there and I see people and I paused and I like gave one last thought. Well, maybe this isn't a good idea. I was just about to turn around and go back to my car and just leave. And this woman yelled out, "There's Jeff. Jeff, come in this way. Come in." Yeah. Well, I heard, I said, "There's Jeff." Like, I thought, like, the next statement was going to be, like, a hate-filled, let's go get him. Instead, it was a welcoming, come in this way, Jeff, come in this way.
The first thing I missed in prison was her 10th birthday. You know, you missed all those Christmases and everything. And I missed her 16th birthday. And I missed her high school graduation. I missed her college graduation. I missed her marriage. I missed the birth of my first grandson. And, you know, then by the time I get out, she's 26 years old. She's got her own family, and I go to live with her, and I have a $40 gate check. So that's the way it started out, but it was wonderful, absolutely. I would like to talk about her wedding just for a minute, if you don't mind. I didn't see her for a lot of years. But when she was 18, I sent her a birthday card, and I told her it's not that I did not want to see you. I just didn't think I could see you, you know. And if you want to visit, you know, then that would be great. And she came up that weekend, and came up every chance after that, you know, when she would go off to college and come back and visit. And you know, then she gets this boyfriend, and they get engaged. And. And I keep thinking, well, okay, maybe they'll just like quietly go somewhere and get married. But she's talking about preachers and bridesmaids and dresses and stuff. And I was like, okay, well, you know, thinking to myself, who's going to walk her down the aisle? And I never had the courage to ask her that. Finally, the very last visit, right before she was going to get married a couple of days later, you know, we're sitting there talking and the visit was over and we both stood up to give our, you know, goodbye hug. And I looked at her, I said, "Kristen," I said, "how are you going to get down the aisle?" And she looked at me and she says, "I'm going down the aisle by myself. Then nobody can take your place."
Please, remember to subscribe to the Convicted Feed for updates. I'm Brooke. Thank you. Thank you so much for listening.
Birds flying high. You know how I feel. Sun in the sky. You know how I feel. Breeze drifting on by. You know how I feel. It's a new dawn. It's a new day. It's a new life for me. And I'm feeling good.